Good morning, Symphony Church. We are continuing in the book of Luke today with Luke chapter 20 as our passage today. Luke chapter 20. One day, as Jesus was teaching the people in the temple and preaching the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes with the elders came up and said to him, "Tell us by what authority you do these things, or who it is that gave you this authority." He answered them, "I also will ask you a question. Now tell me, was the baptism of John from heaven or from man?" And they discussed it with one another, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Why did you not believe him?' But if we say from man, all the people will stone us to death, for they are convinced that John was a prophet." So they answered that they did not know where it came from. And Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." And he began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants, and went into another country for a long while. When the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants, so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent another servant, but they also beat and treated him shamefully, and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent yet a third. This one also they wounded and cast out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Let us kill him so that the inheritance may be ours." And they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When they heard this, they said, "Surely not." But he looked directly at them and said, "What then is this that is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." The scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on him at that very hour, for they perceived that he had told this parable against them, but they feared the people. So they watched him and sent spies, who pretended to be sincere, that they might catch him in something he said, so as to deliver him up to the authority and jurisdiction of the governor. So they asked him, "Teacher, we know that you speak and teach rightly, and show no partiality, but truly teach the way of God. Is it lawful for us to give tribute to Caesar or not?" But he perceived their craftiness and said to them, "Show me a denarius. Whose likeness and inscription does it have?" They said, "Caesar's." He said to them, "Then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And they were not able in the presence of the people to catch him in what he said, but marveling at his answer, they became silent. There came to him some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection. And they asked him a question, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, having a wife but no children, the man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife and died without children. And the second and the third took her, and likewise all seven left no children and died. Afterward, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had her as wife." And Jesus said to them, "The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and to the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. For they cannot die anymore, because they are equal to angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him." Then some of the scribes answered, "Teacher, you have spoken well," for they no longer dared to ask him any question. But he said to them, "How can they say that the Christ is David's son? For David himself says in the book of Psalms, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.' David thus calls him Lord, so how is he his son?" And in the hearing of all the people, he said to his disciples, "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and love greetings in the marketplaces and the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." Amen. In today's passage, we see Jesus contend with many of the Jewish authorities in Jerusalem. He has many face-offs with the Pharisees and the chief priests and the scribes and the elders and the Sadducees, who all come to test him and seek to undermine his authority. They pose to Jesus these loaded questions, trying to craftily catch Jesus in his own words. Of course, Jesus sees through their ploys and outmaneuvers them in his discourse with all of them. And in the middle of all this, sensing the growing hostility from the Jewish leaders, and knowing already their eventual plan to have him crucified, Jesus tells them a parable, often referred to today as the parable of the tenants. And the parable of the tenants is fascinating because in such a short story, Jesus concisely summarizes the complete history of man in regards to God and sin. The tenants, who were lent a vineyard by the master, became greedy and possessive with that which was not theirs, and they would come to beat the messengers that the master would send to them. And in the end, when the master sent his own beloved son, the tenants do the unthinkable, and they kill the son out of their own wickedness and selfishness. And this is essentially what takes place throughout the entire Old Testament. From Genesis to Malachi, we see humanity grow increasingly wicked and further from God, doing what is right in their own eyes. God would send prophets and messengers to try to turn his people around, but they would be rejected, cast out, even persecuted, their messages ignored. And Jesus describes his own coming death as well in this parable, right to the people who would be the ones to do it. What caused the tenants in the parable to behave so wickedly? The same thing that caused mankind to grow further and further apart from God throughout time is, of course, sin. But more specifically, the parable of the tenants characterizes the sin as the desire for selfish gain. The tenants turn on the master and reject the messengers and kill the son, all because they desire the things of the vineyard. The vineyard and all that has become of it since the master has entrusted it to the tenants became more desirable to the tenants than the master himself. And Jesus warns us against this sin. He even tells the crowds later in our passage to beware the chief priests and the scribes precisely because they have fallen for the things of the world rather than God. He says, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and love greetings in the marketplaces and the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." The desire of the things of the world, which always leads to selfishness and wickedness, is something that is opposite the kingdom of God. And it's something that we, as Christians, are freed from by the work of Jesus. And so we must seek instead not the things of the world, but the things of the kingdom. We must seek the will of the Father. If we were to insert ourselves into the parable of the tenants, we would welcome the Son into the vineyard, and we would serve him and do as he says, because we want to please the Master. We'd know that there would be no point in selfishly stealing the vineyard away for ourselves when we can enjoy it in full with the master who reigns over the vineyard. And so today, let's turn away from any selfish desire for the things of the world. Let's choose instead to accept the freedom that Christ has given us and to seek instead the things of the kingdom, preparing for the day the master returns. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you confessing that it's so easy for us to be tempted to seek selfish gain, to choose the things of the world, to become captivated and enamored by that which you have entrusted us, rather than see through it your glory and your power and your awesome character. Lord, forgive us of the ways that we lose sight of you, and I pray that we never forget the grace given to us by Jesus, by his work on the cross, which completely transforms and renews our minds to be able to seek the things above. Lord, I pray today that we can take steps towards that, that we can resist temptation, that we can be further devoted to you. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.